desire your prayer this morning. I've written on the board God's time, and the Lord had given me that message before Sister Jeannie's testimony Wednesday night, and before the Sunday school lesson this morning, and all of this just dovetails together. So I think the Spirit of the Lord's trying to teach us something. So I desire your prayers. We look into His Word. God's time. In the 11th chapter of John, begin reading with verse 3. Very familiar story. Let's begin reading with verse 1. It said, "Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, whom thou lovest is sick. And when Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And when he heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was." Want us to understand, Lazarus was in a condition that he was sick nigh unto death. If he didn't get help, he was going to die. And I believe that probably all of us have had situations in life that we sent a message to the Lord. Lord, we are desperate for some help here. We need you to come, and we need you when? Right now. Don't tarry, don't wait. If you don't come, we're going to have a lot more trouble than what we're in right now. Jesus got the message, and he knew something bad was going to happen. He knew that Lazarus was going to die. But yet he said he's not going, this isn't a sickness, he said, unto death. In other words, he did physically die. But he said this was for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified. You know that God can be glorified out of some of the bad situations in your life? But yet, when we pray and when we look to the Lord, we, in our humanity, we begin to feel desperate. And we say, Lord, we need you to come right now. And the Lord took his time, and he stayed in the same place 2 days. Do you see the Lord? It was almost as if Jesus was twiddling his thumbs. You know, when you need something, and they just kind of sit there and just wait. It's like, now. Have you ever felt that way about God? It's like, Lord, we need you right now. And Jesus just stayed in the same place, and Lazarus died. Lord, if you would have been here. Jesus then, upon Lazarus' death, he headed to Bethany. And in verse 32, let's read. It said, "When Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." That is in chapter 11, John chapter 11, verse 32. Mary said with you, Lord, if you would have come, if you would have been here, he wouldn't have died. In other words, there was a little bit, in a sense, there was some blame being put on God. And folks, we don't charge God foolishly. Now, when we think about Job, it said he didn't charge God, he did not charge him foolishly, but I will say this, Job sure did question God. And sometimes we forget that, and our Job was perfect, and he didn't charge God foolishly. He wasn't foolish about it, but he had some questions. And Mary, there was just a little bit of, Lord, if you would have been here, this would not have happened. I guess I'll confess that in my life there have been times it's, Lord, if you would have done what, and I have to be careful here because God's God, but Lord, it seemed like if you would have done what you could have, some of this stuff wouldn't have happened. If you would have been here, Lord. But do you realize that God's timing is not our time? Simple and basic, isn't it? Why do we have so much anxiety then sometimes? You see, people often instinctively begin to mistrust God's timing. People begin to, we look at our anxiety, and if we will look over our experiences in the past, don't we oftentimes see how the Lord really did come through when He needed to? But yet, in the present distresses of life, sometimes it seems like the Lord's too late. It seems like we don't understand why He's doing what He's doing, or sometimes why God isn't doing what we think He ought to be doing. Those are questions that just really reveal not a lack of power on His part. It reveals our lack of understanding, and it just really reveals our humanity. That we don't understand God's ways all the time. And it's all right for us to acknowledge that. But at the same time, God was not too late, because when Jesus showed up, you know the story, He went and He caused Lazarus to rise from the dead. He brought him back to life. There was a greater testimony, and the glory of God was revealed through that resurrection much more than if Jesus would have just said, "Oh, Lazarus, take up your bed and walk." Now He went to the tomb and said, "Lazarus, come out." There are situations in life that we say, "Lord, if You would have," and the Lord's saying, "I'm going to get more glory if You will just wait and give Me time." And folks, sometimes it's going to get worse before it gets better. I don't understand why that happens. And sometimes we follow the Lord, and it seems like, Lord, in our desire to please You, and the Lord leads us right into trouble. There have been decisions I've made in following the Holy Spirit that still today I said, "Lord, if I would have known," yeah, if you would have known, Michael, you would have done something different. Might have been disobedient. That's why the Lord doesn't let us see the future. We heard the Sunday school this morning, to bloom where you're planted. But Lord, if I knew there was a drought, I would have planted myself somewhere else. Lord, if I would have known they were going to do that, I would have avoided that by other decisions I could have made. See? But folks, we have life to live, and God is not going to be too late right where you're at. Even when it looks like it was with Lazarus. Lord, you're too late if you would have been here. There may be some things in your life this morning you think, "Lord, if you would have." But my part of my message to you this morning is that God's not done. God's not finished. God's time is not our time. And we begin to feel desperate after a day, a month, a year. Lord, there have been things I thought, "Lord, I have a decision to make and I've got to know and I've got a deadline." Somehow the deadline passed. I'm like, "Lord, you're too late." But somehow, the Lord has a way of working when He needs to work. And He's not twiddling His thumbs in the meantime. He's still looking on you. You're the hair of your head. They're numbered. He cares. He's interested. And He has not forsaken His people. Well, this applies to so many different places in our life. Spiritually, physically, financially, relationships. In every area of our life, there are times we say, "Lord, we need You right now." And then He's too late. Too late according to our timetable. But according to His, folks, as the girl sang, He's right on time. He is not going to be too late this morning. I think about the three Hebrew children. It seems like if the Lord would have been on time, He would have kept them from being thrown in the fiery furnace. Doesn't that what it seems like? But yet He received greater glory by allowing them to be thrown in the furnace. So my question in part to you all this morning is, are you willing to go into the furnace for the Lord? You say, "Lord, if You would have been on time, we wouldn't have to go through it." But He's saying, "Who here can I trust? Who can I trust to go when you don't understand and when you don't know what the end result is? Who is willing to trust God's way and God's time?" God was not too late with the three Hebrew children. With Daniel, he ended up in the lion's den, didn't he? But he was not too late. And there have been those that have died trusting God, and God was not too late. Because they're in heaven now. God is going to work, folks. He is working. He's not going to be too late. It was mentioned this morning in Romans 8:28. Where the scripture says, "And we know I hope we do this. I trust we do this morning. We know that all things work together for good. Now, what are all things? That's a big word, all. Now, think of the most difficult thing in your life right now. Think of the most difficult person in your life right now. Think of the most thing that causes you the most stress. Do you know that God can work that thing for your good? All things. But Lord, you don't know then. Yes, I do know then. You don't know. Yes, He does know. And He's not going to be too late. Because they work together, that infers a process of time. That sometimes we're just impatient because we're human. But working together, folks, all things work together. It means it's not just answered overnight. We don't see the answers tomorrow, and it may not be next year. And you know what? I don't want to discourage you. It may not be in 5 years. But God is still working, and He's going to work it for our good if we will let Him. Canaan land was not conquered in a day, was it? No. Canaan land was conquered, may I remind you, step by step and little by little. That's how Canaan land was conquered, and that's how our victories are going to be in our own life. Do you realize that your failures this morning? See, we can talk about being thrown in the lion's den, and there's almost something romantic about that. Oh, I'm willing to suffer for my Lord. You know what I'm talking about? Almost romanticized. Being persecuted for the sake of Christ, but yet when it comes on the workplace, or you go to a place where everybody's in the world, and we start to feel like we don't measure up to their standards, whose standards are we trying to measure up to? Are we willing to be a little bit different for the sake of the gospel, or are we going to feel second class? We don't need to feel, we're not inferior citizens, folks. We're kings and priests in the kingdom of God. But yet, there are times that even when we fail the Lord, and again, I say that because there's nothing real romantic about failure. There's nothing, you can paint it with whatever brush you want, but failure's failure. I fell down and I skinned my nose and everybody sees it. And I fell down, I got dirty and they look on, think, what's your problem? Do you realize that in failure, if you love the Lord, in your failure, all things are going to work together for your good. The Lord can take our failures in His time, and He can be glorified in them. You say, how can God be glorified in failure? He can. Because He can work in our life, and He can shape us, and He can mold us, that we would, in the end, that we would come out stronger and closer to the Lord. There's a scripture in the 29th, and I thought Brother Justin might get it this morning. I was almost hoping he wouldn't. Let's turn and read it. In Jeremiah, in the 29th chapter, in the 4th verse, the scripture here says, "Thus saith the Lord God of hosts." Now I want us to understand that the prophet was speaking to the children of Israel who were being carried into Babylon. Babylon was captivity. And we can say, where can God be glorified in captivity? Well, this is how what God's commission to the children of Israel was. "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captive, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon." Folks, God caused the children of Israel to be taken into Babylon. God caused it. "Build ye houses." So what the question is this. In our captivity, in the place that we have been planted at the time, what are we supposed to do? And again, instinctively, when the drought comes and when the famine comes, in our lives we want to run to our corners and hide. We want to pack our bags and move. We want to leave. We want to get another job. We want to go to another congregation. We want another husband or another wife. We want another this, another that. You understand what I'm saying? Anything that causes you stress, we think, well, if it could be different. This is what God said to do. In Babylon, in failure, in captivity, He said, "Build you houses." and dwell in them, and plant gardens, and eat the fruit of them. Take wives, and begat sons and daughters. In other words, live life. In your captivity, in your failure, in areas of your life that you think, Lord, we need deliverance. See, I don't know what areas you need deliverance, but I imagine in all of our lives there are areas that we're saying, Lord, would you deliver me from this? Would you deliver me from that? Would you deliver me from them? Would you deliver? And we can go through a litany of different items that we need deliverance from. And maybe it's deliverance from yourself. But what do we do while we're waiting on God? He said, I want you to build houses. I want you to plant gardens. And I want you to live life. In essence, what we heard this morning, I want you to bloom in your captivity. There have been times in life that in looking for God to give leadership, Lord, where do you want us to go? What do you want us to do? And we're praying and actively seeking God for His purpose in our life. And the question always is that people have, what do we do until we know what the Lord wants us to do? He wants you to stay right where you're at and build houses and plant gardens and bloom and prosper right where you are. And in God's time, He will lead you somewhere else if that's His will. But if not, He does not want us to waste our time in captivity, pining away, saying, Lord, we're sitting on our couch waiting for you to come. The Lord is saying, I'm still God, I'm still Lord, and although you are suffering and in a drought time and in some difficulties, I want you to still prosper right where you are. I don't want you to give up on life. I don't want you to lose hope. I want you just to live where you're at, and I'll bless you there. Until my time is fulfilled, and then I'll lead you on. Are you willing to do that in your failure this morning? Lord, I just need deliverance. What do I do? I want you to build houses. I want you to plant a garden, and I want to bless you right where you're at. And in due time, I'm going to lead you, and I'm going to work in your life. Because let's move on down in that 29th chapter to the 11th verse. And we read this frequently. But to me, it's a blessing that this verse is right after he was talking to him going into Babylon. And he said, well, let's read verse 10. Thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and will perform my good word towards you in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. You're going to be there for 70 years. We say, Lord, you're too late. And He's saying, no, I'm going to be right on time. See, God sees time differently than we do. One day is as what to the Lord? 1,000 years. See, God doesn't judge time by our calendar. He's looking at the full plan. And we don't have the ability to see that. And so we need to learn to trust God's time. But yet He said, you're going to be there 70 years, and in my time I'm going to come, and I'm going to deliver you. But He said, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. God's not against us. God is not against you. He's working for you, and He wants to bring you to an expected end. But do you realize it takes time to get to an expected end? And I don't know how long that's going to be. I wish I could give you, well, God didn't, so I guess I better not wish that. Because see, when we know God's time, we'll try to speed it up, won't we? I mean, wouldn't you? If I knew that, okay, in 6 months or 1 year, this is where I want you to be, well, I'll be willing to do it now. We'll just speed things up a little bit. He's saying, you're not ready right now. I want you to stay right where you're at. Again, what we heard the son, I want you to bloom right here. I want to bless you. I want you to build houses. I want to bless you in this condition. And then later I'll show you what I want, and I'll give you the grace and the strength and the courage, and you'll sit back and say, wow, thank you, Lord. God's watch is a little different than ours. Been traveling on a journey, and we won't just blame the children for it, but how many times have you asked the question, are we almost there yet? You say, it's been a long time. Are we almost, I think about that McDonald's sign. Have you seen that billboard? Are we almost there? Do you realize that sometimes in our life, the difficulties that we have, that becomes the focus? Are we almost to the end? And we can get so caught up in what we want that we fail to experience what we have. God's time is different. He's not going to be too late. We live in a microwave age. Instant results. You've heard the little expression, God is not a vending machine. Just come up and say, Lord, I'll pray, I believe, and I'm going to get it right when I pray. Would we even have faith? Would we even really begin to develop a relationship with God if we got everything we wanted when we wanted it? No, but what builds relationship is mutual trust. And trust comes by fire. Now, there are people that maybe you can't trust because the fire's revealed. They're not trustworthy. God isn't that way. God is someone, when you go through hard times, it will bring you closer together. Because, Lord, I'm not getting what I wanted right now, but I'm still trusting you. And God's saying all the time, I'm working in your life. I want you to know that. I'm working. We won't take the time to turn to it. But you know, in Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1, it says, to everything there is a time and a season. You see, to everything. Now, who is it that determines the time? And who is it that determines the season? Now, I have to acknowledge there's a few times, even when it, especially in the summer, I'm not a summer person. I'd much prefer the winter, the cool weather. But yet, there are, you get after a little while, it's like, isn't it about time for some cooler weather? But you know, really, that's out of my hands. I don't have control over it. In our lives, there is a time and a season for all things. And the Lord is the one that knows the season. So know this, if you are in a season of joy, if you are in a season that everything's going smoothly, enjoy it. But know this, that you're going to have some other seasons in your life as well. But if you're in a season of mourning and heartache and some difficult, know that there's going to come a time, there's going to come a season, the Lord's going to bring you through that. So let's commit the timekeeping into God's hands. He won't be too late. Another passage of Scripture over in Galatians 4. The Scripture talks about in the fullness of time. Galatians chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. We'll just preface it. But the Scripture speaking about in the fullness of time, God sending His own Son. In the fullness of time. How long did it take Jesus to come to this earth? How long? It's 4,000 years. For 4,000 years, people lived in sin. It seemed like, Lord, after Adam and Eve sinned, why didn't you just send Jesus to give people an opportunity of spiritual deliverance? Because you wouldn't appreciate. We wouldn't appreciate what we had. It took 4,000 years for the law to come in the middle of that, for us to really begin to understand sin and the penalty of it. And I don't know all what God had in His mind. But the Scripture says, in the fullness of time, God sent His Son. In our lives this morning, in the fullness of time, the Lord's going to work. So until it's the fullness of time, keep trusting in the Lord. Stay faithful. We can sit back and we can wonder why Jesus did not come sooner. But do you know that God did not neglect mankind? And in our waiting periods, God is not neglecting us. God has not forgotten us. Because I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Verse 4, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth the Son made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of Son. I am thankful this morning for the fullness of time. For the fullness of time in every different, so many different areas of life when the Lord said, all right, it's time. Oh, thank you, Lord. And I thought He was too late and I thought He might never show up. But He did in the fullness of time. That's why weeping, the Scripture says in Psalms 30 verse 5, weeping may endure for the night. But joy comes in the morning. I don't know how long the night's going to be, folks. I don't know how long it's going to be before God gives you the answer that you want or need. I don't know how long you're going to go through the drought. I don't know how long you're going to struggle financially. I don't know how long you're going to hurt physically. I don't know how long, but what I know is this, God is looking after His people, and when it's time, He's going to work. When it's time, He's going to do His job. He's going to do what we need. And we can sit down and wonder why. Lord, I've sat by so many saints on by their deathbed and watched them suffer. You wonder, Lord, why? You know, there are some things I don't know in our humanity that we're never going to have a completely satisfactory answer to the whys of life. I could pontificate this morning, but ultimately what it comes down to is there are going to be things in our life that we really do not understand all of the whys and wherefores of things in life. Because we're not God. For my thoughts, the Scripture says, are not your thoughts. Neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are high, than the earth, so are my ways than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And if you will give me permission this morning, and my time is not your time. God's ways, His thoughts, His times, He's operating on a different level than we are. But He is our God, He's our King, He's our Savior, He's our friend, and He's not going to be too late. So don't be discouraged. Don't give up hope. Don't feel like, well, Lord, there's a window of time. How many windows of time have we given God before? Lord, there's a window of time. And the window passed like, Lord, all right, I guess it's not going to happen. It's too late. The Lord has not forgotten. The Lord is not forsaken. But He's still working. Even when Job was in the battle and he said, but He knoweth the way that I take. This is after looking around and not seeing God. Lord, I'm here because You brought me here. Have you ever been there in your life? Lord, I'm struggling financially because You put me here. Lord, I'm struggling physically because You put me there. Lord, I'm struggling spiritually with feelings and emotions and I'm battling some attitudes because I followed Your voice. Lord, I need some help right now. And the Lord just kind of takes a step back. But Job said, I looked around and I didn't see God, but I know He's there. He knows the way that I take, and when He has tried me, He shall bring me forth as gold. See, God's going to accomplish His purpose. God has a purpose in all of our lives. It's all going to work for us, but no, His time is not our time. God is working in ways we cannot see. The Scripture says that Sarah conceived. Genesis 21:2, for Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age. And I was moved by this, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. That's the set time. You say, well, I'm looking forward to the set time. Lord, when is that? Sometimes I can't even see God. We look around and say, Lord, where are You? But this is where faith takes hold. Lord, I still believe. And is until You reveal Your perfect purpose for me for next year, right now, I want to build a house. And I'm going to plant a garden. And I want to bloom. I want to flourish. I want to be what You want me to be right in this unsettling situation. I want to be what You want me to be. God's time is not our time. The Scripture says, and you know it, all things are for Your sake. All things are for Your sake. You can read it on your own time. 4th chapter of 2 Corinthians. But this is the reason why we don't faint. This is the reason why we can have perplexities but not be in despair. It's a reason we can hurt but not die. It's because the Lord is working for us. He's working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. He's working for those things that are not seen this morning in our lives. So I want to encourage you to hold on. When the children of Israel were brought to the Red Sea, it's like, Lord, You've worked up to this point, but it seems like You kind of took Your hands off. Got the army of the Egyptians behind us, the Red Sea in front of us, and they began to be troubled.
But folks, God was not too late. The scripture says that during the night, I believe it said there was a south wind, north wind or south wind? Anyway, a wind began to blow. Oh, it was an east wind.
An east wind blowing. It was an east wind that began to blow.
And it separated that sea that night. Folks, it may be in the nighttime for you. Nighttime is a time of fear. It's a time of question. It's a time that pain is worse. And you don't understand, and it seems like morning will never come. But there was an east wind blowing during the night, getting ready to accomplish God's purpose. His time is not our time. I'd like to close with this. Psalms 27, verse 13. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. So what do we do while we're waiting on God's time? Build a house, plant a garden, bloom right where you are, and wait and be of good courage, because He will strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord.